Colin Barnes, for those of you that don't know him, some of you won't know him, is the, what's your official title? Teaching pastor,
yes,
of River Churches, all the River Churches, and he's a very dear friend. So I will pray for him now. Yeah, Jesus, we thank you for all that you've already done with us this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. And as that song sang about deep, calling to deep, we pray as Colin speaks to us now that we would hear and we would receive in the deep places. Not the superficial places where we just know stuff and think it's all nice and good ideas, but all that we've received this morning around your grace, we would receive in a deeper place because of you. And that you will use Colin to do this morning. Amen.
Amen. Living graciously. We're doing a Living Like Jesus series. Thank you. And we need, if we're going to be like Jesus, if we're going to live like Jesus, we're going to live gracefully. Play on words, really. It doesn't mean we've got to float around, you know, like some kind of Dalek with a robot. It means we live full of grace. We live lives full of grace. Grace one another. Grace when I step out of the view of Zoom and they can no longer see me. There's grace. There's grace, my friend Bill, at the back just for doing that. But we need to be full of grace. We need to receive grace, not just when we get saved, when it's such a wonderful thing to know that we're accepted and forgiven. But we need to grow in grace. That's what the Apostle Peter says. Grow in grace. My sad experience is that's not all too often the case, because people pile on all kinds of things. Someone's phoning up to pile on something now. religion can pile stuff on, and we can lose our grace for one another. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in church. You see, grace is the most powerful force. Well, it's part of love, so it's one of the most powerful forces in the universe. It gets us unstuck. Let's be honest, we're like sheep. We get ourselves into awful predicaments. I like walking in the hills. I see sheep in terrible places they should never be. You need a shepherd to come along and get them unstuck. Grace gets us unstuck so that we can move on. Anybody here feeling stuck at all? Be honest with me. Grace is what will move us forwards. Let's pray we unlock situations in our hearts this morning. Unlock places where we felt trapped by our decisions or by the past or by what other people have done. Let's pray that grace breaks in again today into our lives, because it opens up wonderful new vistas, freedom for us when we do. That story that was read out at the beginning about the healing of the paraplegic is fantastic. And it happens in context in Mark's Gospel. We see Jesus starts ministering the kingdom. Think again, he says, the kingdom of heaven is near. And he goes around driving out demons, healing his mother-in-law. That's grace. He heals the sick. And crowds start following him. And he's performing all these wonders and teaching them as one who has authority. And they're saying, wow, we've never seen anything like this. And there's so many people, it says, so many people are following him around that he can no longer hang out in town. If only we had that problem.
Yeah.
It was a bit empty here at 10:30 this morning.
No.
If only we had that problem. We're obviously not sending out the right message. Grace is attractive. But people wanted to be with him all the time. He had to go out and wander around the countryside. It was too dangerous for him to be in town. It might cause a riot. Anyway, he comes back into town, and this is what. And he comes back with a purpose. You think, what is your purpose, Jesus? I tell you what he does. He comes back to pick a fight. He comes back to pick a fight with religious people. I'm afraid I'm going to scandalise a few people this morning, and I generally do. So I'm sorry about that at one level, but I'm not sorry at another level, because I think we all need to think about these things. And too often we sleepwalk through life. We need to wake up. This is the good news. It's something worth shouting from the rooftops. It's something worth dancing down the street for. It's something worth being a fool for. And so Jesus picks a fight. This is the first time, this story that we've read out, it's the first time that we actually get the scribes mentioned. The religious writers, the one that keeps all the old documents alive. They've been mentioned in the previous chapter, but that was in passing. This is the first time they're present. They've come up to see what Jesus is up to. And he performs a scandal. Grace is scandalous. They lower this guy down. I'd love to have been there. You know, it's not the little parting of a few bits of straw. They took the roof apart and lowered him down. God! I would love to have been there. And Jesus, looking at them, with his religious people sitting in front of him, and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." He knew what he was doing. That's outrageous. Why is that outrageous? On many levels, it's outrageous. Why is it outrageous? Silence in the room. It's outrageous. I mean, the scribes knew it was outrageous. They were offended. Because only God can forgive sins.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't doing this to offend them or to prove he was God. He was teaching them something about who God is. The way he is, the way he likes to operate. You see, one of the things that will stop us from entering into grace is offense. Honestly, check our hearts. The more easily we are offended by what others say and do to us, or what they say and do to others, the more easily we get offended, the harder it will be for us to receive grace. We live under a curse. All those who live under a law live under a curse. I don't want you to live under a curse this morning. I want you to be gloriously free. And you do that by living gracefully. Yeah. Not getting offended. Begging for grace. But not only did he forgive sin, which only God can do, and he called out the religious people at the time. He doesn't wait for penance. He doesn't wait for the guy to repent. He doesn't wait for him to ask for forgiveness. He does it willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hear me right when I say that. Your sins are forgiven you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that shocking? Yeah. Have you heard the shocking truth?
Yeah.
That's why Jesus says, if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. He says that twice in Mark's Gospel. It's because grace is a river. It's not a pond. It has to be an in and out. It's the way it works. The more grace you give out, the more room there is for God to pour in grace into your heart. Be gracious. Be kind to yourself. Be gracious. And watch what God pours into your heart. You'll be dancing before you know it. John, be careful. You don't want to dance, keep holding the fence. So, even after he's healed the guy, he doesn't ask him to sin no more. Doesn't say, go away and give the proper, you know, sacrifice at the temple. Nothing. Just get up and take clear your rubbish with you when you go. Take your mat. Stuff.
Yeah.
Grace is scandalous. If we've not been scandalized by it, we haven't understood it. You see, when Paul understood it, so when he wrote the book of Romans, he spends a whole chapter 5 saying how wonderful grace is and how much more brilliant than sin it is, and how much more powerful than sin it is, and how much more it's going to spread than sin, and how it's going to fill the whole world, and every part's going to be touched by it. The first verse of chapter 6 says, well then, because there's a bunch of religious people reading his letter, this is an imaginary religious reader. Well then, let's sin all the more then, so that grace can abound, Paul. Because we need to know that grace is scandalous. If we're not scandalized by it, we have not understood it. And I fear for you if you haven't understood it, because it's a wonder to receive that kind of grace as Lyme so brilliantly showed us, is receiving the things we don't deserve. I love to receive the things I don't deserve. It's the only way I can live. Oh boy, if I live under the law, help me. Anyway, you see, there's no limit to what God forgives. We know that because Jesus says as much. After the religious people have blasphemed him, saying it's by the prince of the demons that he casts out demons, he says there's only one thing that won't be forgiven. And all sins will be forgiven, he says, just one won't, and that's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, calling something you know is from God evil. And of course, he has to be mad to do that, so it's probably a hypothetical sin. All sins will be forgiven, he says. Wow! Because Jesus knew the heart of his Father was to freely forgive. We only do what we see our Father doing. What did you see? It's shocking. But Jesus knew that. God loves to freely forgive sins. Now, some of you are reasoning, well, couldn't it be that the guy that Jesus, no, he was God, he knows everything. He could have known that guy was a good guy, and he could have known that, you know, he was repenting inside internally, etc. Let's not try and taint the scriptures with our religious mindsets. We're reading far too much in when we do that. The fact is, it was scandalous. Free forgiveness. Nothing attached. Do you want that this morning? Tell you what I do. If you don't want to hide at all. He wants us to know that grace is free, and it sets us free from the places we've got locked up in. Because the truth is, some of us are paralyzed. We just don't know it. We've been paralyzed because we haven't received enough grace. This morning, God wants to touch our hearts afresh with the wonders of his grace and kindness. Please, let's open our hearts wide. You see, the very next story, I haven't got time to read it, but I would. Jesus doubles down on this. You see, he made a mistake, you know, maybe he made a mistake. Didn't mean to upset those people. But the very next thing he does is he calls Levi, one of the most despised men in the neighborhood, and says, come and be part of my gang. Come and be one of my closest co-workers. Not only that, he goes and hangs out with all Levi's mates. Crowds of sinners. Tax collectors and ladies of the night and whatever else. Just hanging out with Jesus, eating and drinking, having fun. You can understand why people got a bit upset about that. You know, I would have probably got a bit upset about that. What about me, Jesus? I would have probably been in there, actually, but, you know. Certainly in my previous life. But, you know, come on. Jesus chooses to be with those people, the most despised, the worst part of society. Love is gracious. Love keeps no record of wrongs, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Too often we believe the lie that God's some kind of bookkeeper writing down all the sins that we... God keeps no record of wrongs. That's in the scriptures that we love so much. We don't believe it. Grace isn't interested in judging. It doesn't seek to work out who's to blame. Grace seeks to transform. And you know what the power of God's transformational power is. You know what that is, don't you? God's transformational power? Come on, it says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Give me the hint. Come on, so tell me. How does God change us? Come on! Come on! That's from 2 Corinthians. That's not the one. Romans 2, verse 4. It's the... It's the kindness of God that leads to change. The kindness of God that leads to change. It's not the rule book, it's not the law, it's not knowing what's right from wrong. That's back in Eden. We made that mistake so long ago. Let's not make it again. It's the kindness of God that leads to change. If you want to be changed, don't try and work at it. Don't try and be self-willed. Don't try and do some regime. Just fall in love with Jesus. I'm getting passionate about this, honestly. I don't know if I'll get a chance to speak to you about this again. Please listen. You've got to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen. Come on.
Please. Let's not die out. Let's not grow old. Just embers in the fire, you know, nicely warming ourselves as we drop off out of Marlowe, out of memory. Let's light a fire. Please. Be wild in the grace that you receive and the grace that you extend. Please. Scandal sets us free. I'll be turned down because I'm shouting. Don't need a microphone. Scandal sets us free. Free from the microphone. If we try to live without grace, we ask God to be schizophrenic. We ask him to be gracious to us and kind to us, but to judge others. God cannot do that. He has to be consistent. Set yourself free. Be gracious. Not just to one, not just if they deserve it, not just if they ask for it, but always, every occasion. Be kind. I didn't mean to shout. I'm sorry. You see, but living graciously opens the way for wonder. Being offended, if I shout, will close off the route of grace for you. That was part of the reason we have the story of the Syrophoenician woman. Try not to shout. That's part of the story with the Syrophoenician woman. She comes looking for a healing for her daughter. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, I can't give the food of the children's food to dogs. Wow, little puppies. You think, oh, Jesus, you might have offended her. Come on, turn it down, Jesus. She wasn't offended. If she took offense then, she would never have got the healing. She said, but even the little puppies get the crumbs from the table. And Jesus said, you understand grace. You can receive grace. Thank you for forgiving me. Your daughter's healed. Beautiful story. Everyone who lives under the law lives under a curse. Don't limit what God's able to do in your life through holding on to offense. Forgive. Let go. Choose to let go. And grace will flood your life and transform you, and transform those that meet you. Grace. Now, when I preach like this, people are going to say, but Colin, what about all the rubbish stuff, all the hurts, all the pains, all the evil? And it's not, grace doesn't ignore those things, it just chooses to look beyond them. Grace doesn't ignore the problem in me. There are so many, you can't ignore them. Grace doesn't ignore the problem in you. What grace does is, I see you, I see the possibilities, I see what life could be like with the grace of God in your life. And it talks to that, it calls that out. And so Jesus looking at his disciples saying, you know, you're all going to leave me, you're all going to betray me. But when I'm risen, meet me in Galilee. You're not wiping them off because they're failing. He's looking beyond their failures to know what he's going to do for them later. Too often we write people off and we pigeonhole them. We mustn't do that with people for their past mistakes or present mistakes or who they are. Speak grace into one of those hearts and we set them free. We set ourselves free. Grace opens up vast new vistas of possibility. The lame walk because Jesus ministered grace. Tax collectors and sinners repented. They changed because they encountered the kindness of Jesus. They encountered grace. Many, they said, followed him. They wanted to be with him. We have the potential to live a life full of wonder because of grace. Those of us like Paul, who consider themselves to be the worst of sinners, know the power of grace. It's brilliant. Come on, I'm the worst of sinners. I don't deserve a thing from Jesus. But he's kind to me, always kind to me. Always kind to me. And therefore, I have hope. When we known grace, we gladly extend it to others. If you're feeling offended, probably you haven't been gracious to yourself. Let your own heart receive the wondrous kindness of God. Be filled to overflowing. Do you cry? If you haven't cried lately at the kindness of God, ask Him to overwhelm you with His love. He will. He will. Please, Jesus, you hear my prayer. He will. So do we get offended when we think others are behaving badly or our prayers aren't answered? Or do we continue in grace? That's the question. Jesus says, you're free. You can do whatever you like. But let me tell you, if you don't operate in grace, grace can't flow into your life. So receive grace, knowing that you are freely forgiven. Have you heard the shocking truth? Cleansed, accepted, and justified too. Not guilty, forgiven, reconciled, embraced by the Father. It's party time. Some of us need to feel that right now. And you might want to play your guitar, man.
Yeah.
Because music helps us to receive the gift of God. Receive grace for yourselves. In the choir, close your eyes if you need to. Just whatever you do, do not get up until you receive grace. The kindness of God for yourself. No matter how good or how bad you think you are, grace will overwhelm you. God's grace is infinite. There's no end. Let's not be distant. We sang about boldly approaching the throne of grace earlier. Let's do that. Help us, Lord Jesus. The world tries to batter us and bruise us and mould us and shape us. Teach us what we shouldn't do. We get hemmed in on every side and religion piles in too. Help us to rest in our arms again, to know the shocking truth. That you've covered it all, that you've paid for it all. That you long to pour your love into our hearts. Not to leave us where we are, but to transform us by your kindness. You know what Jesus said to that paraplegic when he said, your sins are forgiven. He later says to his disciples, when he says to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whatever you forgive will be forgiven. You don't have to ask God's permission. Isn't that wonderful? We have the same ministry. We can live like Jesus. We can freely forgive everyone. Everyone. Because no one's beyond the limitless love and kindness of our God to see transformation. Lord Jesus, thank you for that gift. Help us to walk in it. To extend your kindness to everyone that we meet. And we can't do that on our own. We're weak. We need you. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to dance with you inside, and maybe sometimes outside too. To minister grace. Powerful grace. Life transformational grace. Begun to minister to us. Help us to receive more of this. Our time is too short, Lord Jesus. To waste. Let us not waste the grace that you pour into our lives. But let us multiply it. Keep multiplying us. That more and more might come to share the shocking truth. You're God who loves them to be gracious. Jesus Christ, who came, full of grace.